This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Now, it's going to happen, Peter. Alex being nice, or you think that's really going to happen?
I have another theory, Don.
What's that?
You want to hear it?
Go ahead, yes.
Michael, sit back for a second. Me and my boy Don are about to talk.
All right.
I actually believe that Michael is egging Alex on to bring it up, to troll us, because he knows he's never going to do it. What do you think about this theory?
No, I don't think Michael's that evil.
You don't think at first, like maybe last summer they talked about it, he's like, by the way, the guys would love to come on. Say you want them on the show. Then they'll really think they're going to do it, and then I can crush them.
I think Alex and I are too close for him to be involved in something like that. No, I don't think Michael's that evil. I think this is going to happen, Peter, because, listen, he's got more sway than Michael does. And if it doesn't happen, then Michael truly is the one that put a stop to it.
Well, there are people above us.
Above Alex?
Yeah. So if Alex suggests, hey, Michael's on a great show, Don and Peter are really cool guys, they're local, we can't have him in here for a top half of the inning, kind of promote Michael's show and
you guys would
have some fun.
First of all, you don't leave your house when you're not working, Don. You're going to come back to
South Street Seaport.
Yes, I'd skip.
He'd skip
really?
There.
Yeah.
And furthermore, last I heard, Don, Michael Kay signed what I've heard is a massive contract to ESPN.
Massive.
And I know K-Rod's a big part of it, but the radio show is too. You think it's that crazy that the same executives who heaped these piles of cash and gold bullion over to your house, you don't think that they would be interested in promoting the show?
Nah, come on.
It's an ESPN show. This is an ESPN show.
First, I don't know where you're getting your information about massive amounts of money. Don't believe everything you read. I've never told you that.
Well, I don't believe it, but okay. I still am going to keep referencing these articles for as long as I can. But I think it would behoove the company that just re-signed you to want to promote the show that you do. That's not crazy talk. That's logical.
It's not crazy.
Mm-hmm. Knicks and the Magic tonight. And the Knicks coming off another disappointing loss because they didn't play defense. You know, they scored 120 points. That should be enough to win.
Should be.
But they lost to the Heat 127-120. The Knicks shot 71% in the fourth quarter, but they allowed Miami to shoot 67% in the same quarter, and the Heat were 6-for-7 on threes in the final quarter. They cannot defend the three. They did not defend the three against the Timberwolves, where Prince was 8-for-8 from three-point land. And I hope it's not a point of fatigue where they're not getting out to cover these guys. Tom Thibodeau teams are built on the back of defense, and if all of a sudden their defense goes away, they're going to go away. They're going to go away. They have allowed 59.3% field goal percentage in their last two games, 57.7% on three-pointers. That's the highest field goal percentage allowed over a two-game span since March of 1998. Unacceptable. This team has had a really great season. Don't let it slip away now. Don't slip into the sixth spot where you're going to have to play a team that you're going to lose to in the first round. You got to stay and hold on to the fifth spot where you can play the Cavaliers, and you've got a puncher's chance. And tonight, they're playing a pesky Orlando team, second game of a back-to-back, and if you're tired, it's really going to show up in the second game of a back-to-back. We don't know if Mitchell Robinson's going to play, a hand contusion. We don't know if Jalen Brunson's going to play. Listen, there are eight games remaining, including tonight. I'm not going to say this is a must-win because that would be silly, but this is an important game, guys.
It's not a must-win, but, boy, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, right? I mean, you're trying to prove you're not the same old Knicks. You lose back-to-back games. You lose to Orlando. That would not look great, and it would completely, I think, spell the end of any chance of getting the four seed. That looks like it's a pipe dream anyway. You're back four with eight to play.
Yeah, they're not catching the cap.
But you're creeping Miami back into the conversation. I was trying to find the tweet, but just to give the audience that isn't completely familiar with how positive Knicks fans are, somebody jumped us earlier in the show. Like, tough loss, bad loss. They beat the Heat already twice this year. You're missing the point, is that the Heat are crawling up your back right now. You know, you could have taken a four-game lead, put them to bed, and just focus on being the five seed and focus on the Cavaliers in the first round. And now you've got Miami back into this thing, and you know how pesky they can be. You got another game with Miami coming up next week. You kind of let them in the door. And now you got a second of back-to-backs. Brunson may not play. It looks like he's not going to play. You're putting yourself in a situation where You're allowing a good basketball team, a well-coached basketball team, to possibly catch you. And now you're going to be playing maybe one of the big three in the first round of the playoffs. I don't care how positive you are. We had a caller say he'd rather face the Celtics, which I think is ridiculous. It's
silly folly.
Silly
talk.
But
that's insane.
These are the things that kind of drive you crazy. You could be positive about the Knicks and still frustrated about last night, frustrated about the loss to Minnesota. These things matter late in the season.
This Hoops preview is brought to you by Bet365. Download the app today. Tonight at MSG, we have the Sweet 16 matchups in the East region. At 6:30, 7-seeded Michigan State faces 3rd-seeded Kansas State, followed by 9th-seeded FAU against Tennessee. Let me get to the football just for a minute.
Yes.
Do you think that Zeke Elliott is a good fit for the Jets? Because if you didn't hear earlier, our Adam Schefter reporting that Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed it down to the Eagles, the Jets, and the Bengals, the teams he wants to play for in 2023. So the fact that he's announced that he has narrowed it down, the Jets have showed some interest, and Breece Hall is coming back from a very serious injury, and I guess they don't know if he's going to be the Breece Hall that he was before he got hurt.
I mean, they only got him for, what,
Elliott,
5 games?
Who was released by the Cowboys to be that guy for the Jets.
Yeah, but you could have the Jets version of ground and pound with those two.
Well, which version are we getting of Zeke Elliott?
You don't know.
He's obviously not what he was back in the day, but can he get you some tough yards?
But at the same time, you had Breece Hall for, what, 5 games?
Right.
How much do you really know what he is? Even though
I've always worried about that, Peter. I really have.
So the problem is, what would the price tag be for Zeke?
Well, he counts $16.7 million against the Cowboys salary cap. I don't think that they owe him any money, so it's going to be something. He's not going to sign for nothing.
No, and he's got suitors, right, because Philadelphia is interested, Cincinnati is interested, so that'll
drive the
price up.
And he's just 27, Don, just 27.
Yeah, but that's the
insane.
Age.
That is insane.
But that's the running back age, 27. That's like the age of retirement for us, 62, right? That 27.
Easy.
I don't care how good you are, 27. Peter, am I wrong? That's when it all starts to come apart. And those are hard yards he got
then. Last year, but he did score 12 touchdowns.
No, he's got a nose for the end zone.
He's a great short yardage back.
Yes, and that's why I think, listen, I don't know how much it's going to cost or how it's going to fit under the cap, but if you can have a combination of Hall and Elliott, you can have a ground and pound. I think that would be a nice 1-2 punch for a team that obviously is going to be a throw-first team anyway with Rodgers and all these wide receivers. Listen, it's attractive because he's a big name. I don't know what he has left. He's obviously hit this wall. But not having to carry the ball a lot, situational running back, third and fourth and short yardage situations, that gives you a lot of options if you have him in your backfield.
I have a question for you, speaking of this pass-first offense with Aaron Rodgers that we're going to get, supposedly. Michael, if somehow this whole thing fell apart, would it be the biggest sort of player transaction fiasco in the history of New York?
It would be so much egg on their face, they would look so terrible. After they flew out to get Rodgers,
right.
It would be awful.
That's why Woody's going to put his foot down, right? Like, there's no way that the Jets could walk away. Now, as a general manager, Joe Douglas could. I guess, listen, I have value. I value these picks. I'm not going to hemorrhage our future for a guy that only might play 1 year. There's a lot of football reasons why you could walk away. But is Woody Johnson going to allow that to happen? He said he was going to pay big money for a quarterback. What else would be out there?
No, and then don't forget, Aaron Rodgers playing a brilliant game of chess. He is not a stupid guy. Goes on the Pat McAfee show and says, I want to be a Jet.
Right.
So now he has really the Jets completely by the you-know-whats. Because they now have to try to get him. He's also got the Packers in a weird situation because they're ready to move on to their future with Jordan Love.
Breece Hall on Twitter, and he has since taken it down, but we do have a screenshot of it. He wrote, I think we good over here in terms of running backs.
Uh-huh.
And then he took it down.
Okay, and why did he take it down? Because the Jets are probably like, listen.
and by the way, he added Michael Carter.
Right. Who's also a nice back, too.
No, he is. Listen, I don't think – listen, they don't need Zeke. It's almost unnecessary, frankly, but I get it.
But it becomes like a Pro Bowl team because you got to make this Roger thing work. See, it's not only do you have to bring him in, guys, it's got to work. Like, you can't give all of this up and go through all this dog and pony show and finish 7-10. That can't happen. You have to be a playoff team. You have to be a competitor, win this division. It's got to be a big time season for them. So you got to pull out all the stops, whatever fits. So if it means Ezekiel Elliott, if it means Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, you got to pull out all the stops, guys. You have to.
I mean, I'll say this. If you're a Jets fan, if nothing else, you have to be excited about what they're trying to do. Because, I mean, listen, there are plenty of seasons, I'm staring one in the face right now, where you get the sense your team is kind of just like, all right, we're going to do the best we can, see how it goes here.
Right.
But we're not going after it. They're getting after it. That's no question.
But that's the scary thing for Jet fans, is that it'll hurt even more if it does fall apart.
And they went out and got Lazard, which, don't get me wrong, nice piece to get, but it's straight off of the Aaron Rodgers made-up wish list.
Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. JJ.
You know, it's kind of interesting how I didn't know that Brandy Scott was actually in the deal to get Aaron Rodgers. This is
great. Everybody's in.
You learn a lot. You learn a lot during the show.
Really do. I was listening a couple weeks ago, and you guys were talking about how each other sleep and whatnot.
Yep.
Don, I wanted to ask you. You said you go down like face first. Do you go like? Do you actually sleep with your face in the pillow?
Yes,
or, like,
right in
the
pillow.
Side?
Trying to like, I'm trying to smother myself.
Is that true or no?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Well, how do you breathe?
All right,
it works.
Yeah.
Out.
Are you being serious or no? You're joking.
Well, I mean,
I
sleep on my stomach. So what I'm at the corner of the pillow, and my face is away from the pillow so I could breathe.
The whole thought of it is hideous.
Okay. I mean, what's hideous about it? What?
Just the thought of you on your stomach.
Well, listen, you're the one that's got to put all kinds of detail on it. There's some people that would love to see me on my stomach.
Like, name four.
Oh, my God.
Name four people that would like to see you on your stomach.
I don't
stomach.
Think it's anybody's business. I don't want to speak for other people.
See what you started, JJ?
I was just curious. This is a great conversation.
JJ, you're welcome anytime. This is useful stuff.
Yeah, this is important.
Exactly.
Are you sleeping nude on your stomach?
No, I have underwear and a T-shirt.
Interesting. Poor Nancy.
Although, for whatever reason... Nancy. Like the hotel, no shirt. Because I just cannot get – every hotel room's hot to me.
Yeah, but you don't know what's on those sheets. And that's when you're peeling off layers
of clothes?
What
are you talking about? I'm not staying at some –
It doesn't matter.
You know,
doesn't matter. Could be
wait,
the
wait,
greatest
wait,
hotel
really,
of all time.
Wait, hold on. You think at a
– You put a black light in a lot of these rooms, you have no idea what you're going to see.
No.
That's – okay, that's it. You don't want to sleep – if you're in a dump of a hotel.
Right.
And the hotel has a cover – It's not a blanket. It's one of those bed covers. Yeah, you do not want to lay on that. I get that.
Yeah.
But you think they're not washing the actual sheets in the bed?
Come on. Listen, I'm not staying. I am not staying at the Swiss Court Inn on Route 17, okay? I am staying. I'm not going to tell you where I am.
We're going to need a name.
But it ends with and spa, okay? It's a really, really nice place. I'm not concerned. I'd eat off these sheets.
All right.
I'd eat these sheets.
Wait, Don. Hold on. Don, you're saying it's not that last hotel right before you get to the Lincoln Tunnel, that little motel on the
no,
right?
No, where they find bodies under the – if there's no body under the bed, then you get to pay full price. If
the
there's
only
a body –
The only people at that hotel are murderers, drug dealers, and prostitutes.
Why
are you
besmirching that hotel? I don't get it.
They even know, Michael. It's almost in the name. No, these are – you stay there if you're, you know, if you're a murderer or you're about to be murdered or stolen.
No, you stay there if you want a short stay, if you know what I mean.
Maybe that, too. Well, listen, for those kind of short stays, you're trying to stay off the radar, so you're risking the potential murder or drug deal you might see.
Anthony Greek said, please, somebody inform Don that they do have sex in and spa hotels.
Yeah, it's not about that. It's about the washing the sheets. They've had sex in every hotel.
What kind of ridiculous comment is that? It's a high-end hotel, so after somebody just does all their business, they come in, they change the sheets. They're washed. This is done.
Do you believe that they change the coverlet? No, they don't wash that.
The coverlet?
The thing that's over the bed before you go to bed that you pull off.
Most nice hotels don't even have that, really, do they? It's a blanket and a sheet. It's not those covers. I feel like are only in, you know, hotel. I didn't want to besmirch brands, but you
right.
know what I'm talking about.
No, but if I'm staying at a high end hotel and that, with the Rangers are paying for, I am the first person on these sheets.
That's right.
Okay, you believe that?
I need because it's true. What do you think this is?
I don't think Michael actually believes this himself. So, Michael, you stay fully clothed? You just lay on top of the bed?
I don't stay fully clothed, but I do have a T-shirt and boxer briefs on. Don's taking his T-shirt off. He's going to have all kinds of scales on his body.
It was hot.
So do your – I have a question then. Let me keep going down this logic. So do your legs get those on them?
Yeah, but you know what? I'll deal with it on my legs.
Does it happen?
Eddie in New Jersey.
He said yeah.
Hey, this is Eddie. Don, I love you. And I love the show, but I've been working at hotels for over 30 years of my life. And I just want to tell you, do not sleep on those beds.
I got to tell you.
Unclothed.
Now listen, I don't know you. You seem like a really nice person. The hotels that we stay at with the Rangers wouldn't hire you.
Oh, why would you say that about Eddie?
Because obviously he wouldn't do his job well. They would be rooted out. People that wouldn't wash. Come on. You really honestly think that they don't take care of business? They lose the Rangers. They're out of business.
Eddie, what did you do? What level hotels are we talking about?
Yeah, give me a hotel.
I'm talking about 4.5-star hotels.
Oh, there you go.
I need a name. 4.5 means nothing to me.
In the metropolitan New York, New Jersey area.
No, I need a name.
He's not going to besmirch a hotel.
This doesn't count. Why?
I'll give you the name.
This doesn't count.
I'll give you more information.
Do you still work there?
Of course I do.
And you're saying that someone would come in, filth up the sheets, and the underpaid, hardworking hotel housekeepers would come in, look at the disgusting sheets, and just smooth them out and put them right back on the bed?
Well, there's some things you can't see with the naked eye, if you know what I mean. Mike referred to it as the black light. Yeah. If you put a black light in a lot of hotels, you would be skeeved out by the things that you
We're not staying at these hotels, okay?
I'm sure you are.
I'm not. We're not talking about a 4.5-star rating on Yelp. These are 5-star hotels. Believe me, if I didn't work for the Rangers, they'd arrest me if I walked in the parking lot.
Don, one thing that you
eat right off them.
Eddie, Don doesn't understand. People do really disgusting things in 5-star hotels.
Not these people.
Extremely disgusting.
They do, and then afterward, the people come in and they clean the sheets.
Okay.
What are you talking about? These are made-up stories.
Eddie's not making it up. Why would Eddie make it up? What is he getting?
Because he worked at the Suburban Motel over on Route 4 in New Jersey, where basically they wring the sheets out and put them back on.
Wait, Eddie, one more question for you. So were you in the housekeeping staff?
No, I'm not. I'm in the food and beverage side.
So how dare you besmirch the hardworking housekeeping staff? This sounds like some internal beef.
This is all made up. This is a made up story.
Catering.
Eddie, I believe everything you're saying.
This is a made up story.
He's not making it up.
Thank you, Mike, for believing. I'm not making it up.
All right, thank you, Eddie.
Eddie, you're the best.
There's some people that would love to see me on my stomach.
Wow. Well, Don just had a big segment, by the way. The last 20 minutes or so. Next year, you're going to see some things.
I'd eat these sheets.
He would eat these sheets.
Peter, it wasn't even a thought that even crossed my mind. It's not even a worry.
I like that, Michael. I like that it's not enough for him to eat off the sheets. He has to eat the sheets.
Right.
Yeah.
The edible sheets. Which brings us back to that hotel on Route 4. Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. Chris.
Michael, Don, Peter, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. What's up?
Michael, I was hoping to chat with you about the theme song, about the opening song of the show, if you had a second.
Sure.
You're always, quick to correct your fellow co-hosts regarding their grammar, regarding their vocabulary. And I think that that's a good thing, that you hold them to a high standard, that you keep that level of integrity on the show. I think that's great. Which is why I'm so surprised that a song that invokes your name, your family's name, has the word ain't in it.
Yeah. I've had talks with Joey about it, but he said that he needed it for the syllables. So
you got to realize something, how Michael was able to. We found Joey in the woods. He was raised by wolves. He couldn't speak. He grunted. And then working with Michael, listen, ain't we? When he first said it, Michael, we applauded him. Like he accomplished something. So I think every time I hear that song, I think about the work that Michael did turning Joey around.
But, Chris, I got to tell you what. I appreciate it. You're calling me on the carpet. I deserve it because it does have my name in it. But that's the way the song was written. I can't infringe on art, can I, Peter? That would be wrong.
No, you can't do that.
This is art.
That's right. You got
to
let it be.
He ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. And it would work. He isn't afraid. But as you know, we found Joey in a pit printing van.
Literally?
Really? He used to work for Pitt Printing.
Like, Michael would take the fun out of everything. Like, let's say Michael was working in the front office of the New Orleans Saints back in the 80s. And they came up with the campaign, who dat going to beat them Saints? Now, who dat?
Oh, I would have shut
down. And Michael would be like, listen, I appreciate the tone, but the grammar is completely off on that.
And this guy would have been bothered that, you know, their nickname was the Aints.
Right. Who's going to beat the Saints? Yeah. Now, who's going to beat the Saints? That just flows better. It's better grammar. And then they would have let you go.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Andy, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
Good, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. What was the atmosphere like? What kind of pressure was it for Team USA?
it was a lot of pressure. Obviously, we wanted to win, and we expected to win. And so, you know, what comes with that is almost like being a New York Yankee, right? You know, there's pressure to get to the postseason and to win, and I really, you know, the same way there. And the atmosphere was absolutely unbelievable. You know, them game in Mexico, in Arizona against Mexico was just crazy. I believe Venezuela down in Miami, it was as loud as any game that I had ever heard whenever something big happened. So it was pretty cool. You didn't really, you know, you had to look at your watch and look down and see it was March the 17th, 18th, the 20th, and you're going, wow, this is crazy, this kind of excitement in a baseball game.
So as a pitching coach, it's not a normal situation, right? There were all kind of constraints on how often you can use the pitchers. So how challenging was that?
It was challenging, that's for sure. You know, especially with the relievers, that was what was really tough. And you know, we knew going in kind of the restrictions that we had. And of course, you're trying to win ball games. And you know, I'm dealing with Dero, and he's wanting to do this and that. And I'm having to tell him, hey, we can't do this or that. And this is what we've got. And it was challenging, that's for sure. And made for a lot of stress. It was probably a few more gray hairs. But at the end of the day, it was all good, and the guys were wonderful. We came together as a team, and you know, and that was really, really cool to see. You know, we're only together for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and so it was pretty special.
Andy, we've been hearing from the players about how much this tournament means to them, and you know, particularly with the international teams, but the U.S. team seemed just as into it. What was the feeling like for you as a coach when Trout struck out and you realized that you were coming up short?
Oh, I mean, it hurt. You know, we all wanted it so bad. Like I was just saying, we it had all come together just like in a short period of time. I mean, Dero did a great job. Trout did an unbelievable job. And Mookie and the guys that, you know, Nolan and Goldie and the guys that were kind of leading the ship here. And then on our pitching staff, Wainwright, and, you know, just kind of taking charge with those guys and just bringing everyone together was unbelievable. And so it hurt, you know, when you lost that. And we all were expecting to win, and what a finish it was. I mean, you couldn't have wrote a script any better than that, as far as for the fans and for the sport and how good that was. So, but, you know, it was tough. I wanted to play in 09, and I had to make a decision. I was asked to play, and, you know, I ended up not playing because we had just signed CC and A.J. Burnett, and we felt like we were going to get to the World Series, and I felt like that, and the Yankees really didn't want me to play, and so, you know, I made a decision not to play, and I've wanted to do this, and, man, I was just very thankful that I got the opportunity to do it.
Let's dig down into that, Andy, because what I never understood through all this was a lot of the players came out and said, this is bigger than winning the World Series. Now, maybe you have a different take because you were raised in the Yankee organization where the whole season is based on winning the World Series. But can you see this being bigger than winning the World Series?
Well, I'll tell you, I think you just nailed it right on the head as far as me coming up in the Yankees organization and what that looks like and what that looks like for that city of New York. For the guys that don't have a whole lot of postseason play in their career, this was very important to them. And you know, we were facing all these other countries with their, you know, with their best players, and it was very important to me too. Yeah, I mean, it hurt. I mean, it, you know, so the atmosphere, again, it is playoff atmosphere, and make, you know, for guys that you know, haven't experienced it, and until you've stepped on that field and you feel what it's like to be out there in those environments, and you feel the adrenaline is pumping through you, it's like a postseason run. It really was, except more stress, especially as a coach, because you're preparing. You don't find out who you're playing until about midnight, and then you got to put together pitching plans and scouting reports and stuff like that. So it was fast and furious, that's for sure.
Well, first of all, Andy, you looked weird with number 13. They couldn't give you 46. And number two, can you see yourself doing this as a major league pitching coach?
Oh, I don't think so. That's way too much work for me, probably. I really enjoyed it, but you know, it was an awful lot, and I loved it. But you know, it was a 3-week stretch, and of course, a couple of month stretch getting prepared for it, and calling pitching coaches and talking through all that and stuff like that. But you know, loved being in uniform, loved being in the dugout with the guys again, and loved talking baseball and pitching.
Right.
But you know, as far as wanting to be a full-time pitching coach, I'm not really sold on that yet, that's for sure.
Now, Peter, earlier in the interview, brought up the Ohtani versus Trout matchup. And at that point, as a coach, you're just a spectator. All you can do is watch. And you've seen some amazing things in baseball during your career. Where does that matchup rank for you?
It was right up there. It really was. I mean, because, like, that is, you know, they both walked out with the flags before the game. It's like, how can this be going down like it is right now? And boy, I mean, what an arm that kid's got. And I mean, you know, 100 miles an hour, and then he throws about the nastiest slider that you'll see thrown. I mean, it started kind of inner half and ended up a ball off the outside corner at 87 miles an hour. So, you know, just hated it, obviously, for us and for Mike. He put his heart and soul into this tournament. And played great, and you know, wish we could have got a big hit right there and been able to pull that thing off. But man, it really, as much as it hurt, you kind of can walk away with just a smile on your face and say, "Man, that was, we lost, but that was good." was a good baseball game, and that was good for baseball.
Final thing, we're talking with Andy Pettitte, who is the pitching coach for the United States and the WBC. Do you understand, Andy, as a competitor, why the best United States pitchers did not play?
Yeah, I do, you know, because I've been there. I decided, I said no also, you know what I mean? So I definitely get it, you know, and I think that there can be some stuff that maybe, you know, that moving forward, because this thing obviously was a huge success and it's going to move forward. It's going to happen again in 3 years, and maybe moving forward we can tweak it a little bit and stuff like that. But you know, you definitely understand. But also, you know, we've got guys that are getting hurt in regular season spring training starts. You know, the relievers are used to coming in. You know, guys that are relievers and have done it for years, they're used to coming in and controlling their emotions in big situations. And for the starters, there are some, you know, obviously there's some huge pitches to make early in a game and stuff like that. But, you know, I feel like if you bring in the right guys and they control their body, they control their emotions heading down the mound, and we get guys that aren't overthrowing, it's a spring training start, you know. It is not an exhibition game, that's for sure. It's competition. But, you know, I wish that I could have done it in 2009. I probably would have done it if, you know, I felt like that, you know, I had some support and some backing on it. But I also get 100% get while some of the players and a lot of the teams don't want their players doing it.
One final thing, would it work better in November, or is this the right time to have it?
You know, I think November would be really tough because everyone's so gassed from the season. This, you know, I don't know how. It would be great if it maybe could be, you know, pushed back another week. But then you're talking about maybe starting the season, you know, a week later. That probably wouldn't work. So, you know, I hadn't put a whole lot of thought in even thinking about, you know, when you could or couldn't do it. I know while we were playing, people had talked about, you know, maybe during the All-Star break with an extended All-Star break and stuff like that. That, to me, that doesn't sound real good. I don't think that would be great. So probably not a great time, perfect time to do it. But, you know, the players have bought in. I know every single player that was there are chomping at the bit to get back and doing it again in 3 years. It seemed like to me. So I know we're going to have a pool of guys that are going to want to do it. So I don't think we're going to be hurting for players, you know, asking to play. I think Paul and the fellas and Tony and told me this was the first year that they didn't ask the player to play. Players were calling and asking if they could play. So there's definitely a strong interest there, that's for sure.
Would you do it again?
I would, yeah. I would. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was fun. Like I said, it was fun for me to be around these guys. They treated me like gold, and just to get to know some of the, you know, the superstars of our game now, their personalities, to meet them. I mean, every one of those guys were all stars in that dugout, and I mean, they were, the guys who weren't playing were the biggest cheerleaders that we had, and that was absolutely awesome to see. It was very special. It was a special 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Andy, thanks for coming on. I know you have a high school game that you have to deal with, and always appreciate talking with you. Hope to see you soon.
Okay, fellas, y'all have a great day.
Hi, Andy.
Thanks a lot.
You too.
So he said it wasn't the intensity of an exhibition game, obviously. I call it a glorified exhibition, but it was obviously more than that to all of these players. But he sounded like he was into it for sure.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Take the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
All right, today's ice picks driven by Nissan. How about a two-leg parlay? Vegas, a very good road team this year, will be in Calgary to take on a Flames team that's starting to fade just a bit. So I like the Golden Knights on the money line. Penguins spoiled my parlay last night with a win in Colorado. They got to play the second of back-to-backs in Dallas against the Stars. So I like the Stars on the money line. So parlay Vegas and Dallas at plus 266 as my ice pick. That's today's ice pick driven by Nissan. Hurry to your Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Get a killer deal at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
Don, I was so sorry to see that the Penguins Avalanche didn't work out for you last night.
Yeah, but Sidney Crosby, an amazing goal.
That's kind of what he does.
Number 30 on the year.
God.
Connor McDavid scored his 60th last night. He's got 138 points for Edmonton. Wow. He's unreal.
Don, are you ever sort of amazed at how long this Crosby-Ovechkin thing's been going?
Yeah, it's incredible, right? Ovechkin just scored his 40th. He broke the record for most 40-goal seasons at 13, and he's still going. He was drafted the year before Crosby, but there was no season because of the lockout. Yeah, it's been going since the 05-06 season, man, and they're both still incredible players.
This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Genesis of White Plains.
Sure.
Visit
is.
Genesis of White Plains, newest member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Let's go back to the phones. Juan in Boston. Juan.
Michael, Peter, Don, how you boys doing?
Great. You?
Fantastic.
I'm doing well. I dropped that for you boys in a second. You better believe it.
Nice.
Wow. Love it.
Thank you.
Quick question for the boys. Don, paint a picture for me here. Going back to the sleeping position, you said you sleep on your stomach.
That's right.
I'm the one of those who would love to see it. Paint a picture for me here. Where do the limbs go? Do you bring your knee up to your elbow? What's that look like?
My knee up to my elbow? No, I'm flat on my stomach.
So you're on your stomach, right?
Yeah.
You bring the knee slightly up towards your arm, no?
No, they're just my knees, my body's flat, my hands and my arms are underneath the pillow.
The reason I asked, Don, I'm concerned about your back, buddy. It could cause some really bad chronic issues in the back. I saw it somewhere on TikTok. Don't quote me. Listen to you guys every day. Love you guys.
Man, well, what a great phone call.
I saw it on TikTok of my urgent care doctor's a quack.
Now, let me ask you this, Don. When you're on your stomach sleeping, are your legs splayed or are they straight, you know, like an 11? What are your legs
actually,
like?
They're crisscrossed.
Really?
Crossed at the ankles, yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of circulatory issues.
Listen, you asked
there.
Me, what are you talking about? But I'm comfortable and I sleep. I sleep well. Not last night because it was hot in the room.
Whenever I turn around and sleep on my stomach, my back does hurt.
Yeah, I need a chiropractor. There's no question about it. But when you're trying to sleep, you want to be as comfortable as you can be, right?
Let's go to Angel in Middletown. Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hey, guys. Before I get to my point, please allow my son to say hello.
Okay.
He's a huge fan of Don. Don made him a cameo, and he made Don's world. So you guys would make me look so good right now.
Sure. And what is his name?
Dallas. I named him after the Cowboys, by the way.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
Dallas.
Hi.
How old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
Nice.
Fifth grade.
Wow. Your father's a great man.
I know.
Dallas, I wanted to ask Dallas how it felt to be talking
right,
to the one only Don LaGreca. Hold on.
He's here.
Yes?
Hey, Dallas, two things. One, are you excited to be talking to Don LaGreca?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Number two, does it surprise you that he sleeps flat on his stomach?
Yes.
Thought so. All right.
Well,
thank
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Dallas.
Thank you, Dallas. That was awful nice.
I just wanted to chime in about that whole hotel conversation.
Oh, wow. Oh, you never know what's going to connect.
Exaggerating. No, he was exaggerating. I'm a supervisor in the housekeeping department. My job is to inspect rooms. Does it happen? Occasionally, but it's my job to sort that out. Now, I worked in the number one hotel rated on TripAdvisor in New York. You guys can look it up. I don't want to say the name. It never happened there, and they are top of the line. The other hotels I've worked in, I want to say maybe I've worked in the hotel industry since 2009. I've seen it about three times.
See?
So it does. It can happen. It's not often, though. And it's typical of somebody in another department, too, to describe it that way. So,
but you know what? If it's happened three times, that could be one of the times that Don's sleeping without a shirt.
You gotta play. Life is always about playing the percentages.
Really?
Interesting. And believe me, my naked chest has seen worse.
Anthony Greek, our producer on the Yes Side, said, crossed at the ankles. Are you hogtied? That's what Anthony wanted to know.
I'm not a fan of him today. I'm really not.
He's not bringing it in the way you'd like to see. Yeah, I hear you.
You know who is bringing it, though, Peter?
Who's that?
Counting Crows.
Oh, I'm aware. Sure. Where are they going?
Yeah, they're coming to PNC Bank Arts Center on Thursday, July 6th, and Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Saturday, July 8th. Be caller number 58 right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you're going to score a pair of tickets to the venue of your choice. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. And for full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
It's unfortunate you guys can't make it to that concert.
You know what's also unfortunate? Sometimes we have the most scintillating sports conversations that I think that would really elicit good conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And Don sleeping on his stomach. And what goes on in hotel rooms is what resonates.
That's right.
I know. And by the way, we have a lot of conversations about what should we lead with today? What's the big story? You do that story, people go, yeah, that's nice. Then they find out that Don's laying on his stomach and their life has changed.
And his ankles are crossed, too.
That part is
disconcerting. That's a little disturbing, Peter. I'm sorry. I don't want to rip my friend, but that's a little odd.
Well, I'm sitting. Picture me sleeping.
I'm sitting right now, Michael, on this couch, and my feet are crossed on the floor.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.